Tears, Masechta, Zvachim, Daf Tzadik Gimel. We will begin on Daf Tzadik Beis, on Beis, 12 lines from the bottom. By Rav Avin. Two words of introduction. One is a halacha that we learned previously, and that is an irregular carbon, chatos, or any carbon that the blood is neskabel in the klisharis. So the Mishnah, I believe it's in Daf Chav Hei, taught us as follows. That if the dam was first in the keli and it spilled out of the keli onto the ritzvah and you pick it up from the ritzvah, it's still usable. But if the blood came directly from the animal onto the ritzvah, that dam is disqualified. We also learned, as recently as yesterday, that by a chatas ha'oif, the dam isn't niskabel in the keli. If we remember correctly, they wave the bird, and that's how you do Zrikas Adam v'chatas ha'if. But what the Gemara, as we explained at the end of the previous shiur, is trying to understand, is trying to analyze, how do we look at the neck of the animal? How do we look at the neck of the animal in a case of v'chatas ha'if? Do we look at the neck of the animal as the klisharis? Just by every behemoth, you have a keli. And by a bird, you have a neck. Or is pshat that the Torah said that there is no need, there is no keli by a neck, by a bird. And the nafkamina between the two ways of understanding is really the shilat we begin our shiur with, which is as follows. Bar Rav Avin, nishpach al ritzpah. If the blood got spilled from the neck of the bird onto the floor, Vosfai, and now it's picked up. Mahu. Is that blood usable or not? Do we say, Atzuchu, Hudul Atzuchu Rachmana, Klisharis? The Torah doesn't require Klisharis. You know why the Torah doesn't require Klisharis? Because the neck is the Klisharis. And therefore, just like I said at the beginning of the shiur, if by behemoth, if the blood goes into the Kaili Sharis, and then on the floor, that blood isn't invalidated, here too, the blood that came out of the bird onto the neck, and now onto the floor, is fine. And just like if the blood spilled out of the klisharis, you could pick it up and use it. Here too, if the blood went onto the neck and then onto the floor, it's kosher. Adama, nifsal pasbei rachmana, klisharis. The Torah doesn't want a klisharis. And the neck isn't a klisharis. The Torah wants that the blood should go directly from the bird to the mizbeach. And anything that happens in between would disqualify that avoida. And therefore, if the blood goes from the neck to the floor, it's possible. So Achronim asks an obvious question. If the Gemara's question, as we just explained it, is what does the Torah mean when it speaks about the procedure of a chatas ha'if, why didn't the Gemara ask a simple question? If you took a klisharis, and the dam of the bird went into the klisharis, will the dam going into the klisharis be a disqualification or not? Because there's no difference if it went on the floor or went on the klisharis. And it's much easier to speak about a case that went to klisharis. I really didn't see a good answer to this question. I saw somebody that said that we're referring to a case where it went into onto the floor and back onto the neck. I don't know how somebody would even be able to do that. I didn't see any Bishmak Eteretz, it's an obvious question. Tashma, says the Gemara, we have a raya from the previous year. We learned in the previous year, Braisa. The Braisa, which was really explaining what we learned in the Mishnah. The Yochli Eidam Chatas Oif Ton Kibbus. We would think that just like a Chatas Pnimi and a Chatas Chitzin require Kibbus of any of the blood splatters on the Kohen's Beged, so too should be the Aloch by Chatas Oif. Tamaloim is Zois. The Torah says Zois, that by Chatas Oif, the din of Kibbus does not apply. Says the Gemara, Visakadat, if Mifsal Pasul Be Rachmana, that if the blood is disqualified when it's not in, when it goes into Klisharis, typically, so why in this case, where the dam is going, what was the case that the Mishnah and the Gemara were referring to? Mishnah Braisa. The Mishnah Braisa were referring to a case where the blood of the Chatas Ha'if was going on to the Beged. Now, we're learning passively now that if the dam goes on to the Beged, or goes into a keli, or goes onto the floor, it becomes permanently disqualified. The Gemara says that not, and we're going to discuss this extensively soon on Daf Tzadik Gimel, that not only when it goes, when it hits the Beged, does it become possible, it becomes possible even when it comes into the airspace of the Beged, or the keli sharis, or the floor. So ask the Gemara, if we need a Braisa to teach us that the dam of a chatas oif doesn't require kibbutz, that means if we didn't have this limud, if we didn't have this limud, maybe it would require. Why? It was saying as soon as the dam comes anywhere that else besides to the mizbeach, it becomes disqualified. Or if it comes into the airspace of anywhere else, it becomes disqualified. So it would never be a relevant shaila. Because what we worry about, the dam of the chatas oif coming onto the kohen's beged, before it comes onto the beged, it comes onto the airspace of the beged, and the airspace of the beged would disqualify it. And we know the dam that's disqualified is not required kibbutz. The fact that the braisa had to give us a limud, the mishnah had to give us a limud, that it doesn't apply, it's obvious that the fact that it hit the beged is not an issue. Typically, the fact that the braisa didn't say that is an indication that even though it went somewhere it shouldn't have, whether it's the beged, whether it's the floor, whether it's the kli sharis, it doesn't become disqualified. Says the Gemara, Uriah is not a raya. Why? Because Amar Rav Huna Bar Yeshua, we're talking about an interesting situation. We're talking about a case of not Bekeli but Tzavara, where it came direct, there was never a time that it should become disqualified and then hit the beged, because you put the beged right next to the neck of the animal, so the disqualification of the dam and it hitting the beged happened simultaneously, and that's why we need a case to say that there kibbutz wouldn't be required. But it could well be that if it was indeed in the airspace of a place, that it could well be that anywhere else will make it possible, and not only will that make it possible, even the airspace will make it possible. Interesting to note, from here we see that when we speak of Avra Keli, the Chorna make this observation, it's not limited to something that has like a receptacle. Here we're talking about a beged. Here we're talking about a floor. And we still use the concept of avir even on something that isn't on top of a keli. So we don't have a raya to the shayla. We're going to speak about this more in a moment. Ask the Gemara another question. Barmine Levi Merebi. Nittis mebeged lebeged mahu. The dam of a, we go back to the dam of a chatas behemavah mishnah. Got splattered on the first beged. And then it got splattered from the first beged to the next beged. Do we say, Mibeged kama itchalei lekibus, once it came onto the first beged, it's already disqualified, and therefore when it hits the second beged, the aloch is, it's already disqualified dam, and disqualified dam doesn't require kibus. Aydoma, or perhaps, loishno, it makes no difference. It's oh, as the halacha is, when it hits a beged, that beged has to be washed. So he responds to him, Zu shayla, your shayla is a good shayla. However, my response to you is, Ton kibbutz manashach. Kibbutz on the second beged will be required. Why? If the halacha, he says, is, he asks of a kafshar, if the halacha is that when you have dam, on a beged, and you squeeze out that dam, you could use that dam. So certainly the dam that got onto the first beged, and now going onto the second beged, will make that the second beged requires kibbutz, because it's perfectly fine dam. V'e, and even if you'll say, Osoy apostle, that somehow you were able to squeeze out the dam from the first beged, still that dam has become disqualified and is not usable, I'm not going to be kibbutz really. I agree with Rabbi Kiva. We're going to speak about that machlokes right before the Mishnah. Damalot, that he disagrees with what we learned in the Mishnah. Our Mishnah said that any disqualified dam does not mandate kibbutz, but he differentiates. And he says, Hoysel shas ha-kosher, if the dam was at one point fine and then it became nifsalah, dama ton kibbutz. So here, this dam that was on, that flew onto the first beged, yes, now it's disqualified, but before it flew on, it was good dam. That dam will forever require kibbutz. Interesting observation here, too, that I saw Rav Chaim make. In our Mishnah, Rebbe doesn't agree with Rebbe Kiva. And Rebbe says it makes no difference how it got possible. If it's possible, it doesn't require kibbutz. And here, Rebbe is the one that's saying, I hold like Rebbe Kiva. So what's going on? Isn't Rebbe the one that wrote the Mishnayos? So they make the important observation. Rebbe was the one that authored the Mishnayos. And when he wrote the Mishnayos, he wrote the halacha according to what was the prevalent opinion. That doesn't mean that he always agreed with that opinion. He personally agrees with Rebbe Kiva. But in the Mishnah, he wrote down what was accepted as halacha l'maisa. Says the Gemara another shaila. Bamine Ramin Bachama. Bamine Ramin Bachama Merav Chizda. Nittes abeget tamei mahu. If dam got splattered onto beged that was tamei. So let's think about this for a moment. The beged makes the dam tamei. So if the beged makes the dam tamei, we're learning that the dam that's on a beged tamei, we're learning that dam that's tamei doesn't require kibbutz. So how do I look when the beged, when the dam comes on the beged tamei? Do we look at it as tamei de gedam? And tamei de gedam doesn't require kibbutz? Do we say that the tumah and the dam, the tumah and the requirement of kibbutz come at the exact same moment? They come at the exact same moment, and there's still a requirement of kibbutz. So here too, there's an obvious question. Before we, at the beginning of the shiur, we spoke about the concept of the magid kli b'tzavara, where you put the beged right next to the neck of the bird, and that's why the blood never got the disqualification, and the dam happening at the exact same second. So we see that if they come at the exact same second, there is a requirement of kibbutz. So what's this Gemara Shaila, which we're going to have a very difficult piece of Gemara, if the Gemara already answered at the beginning of the shiur? So I saw two approaches in the Achroinim, how to answer that question. One approach in the Achroinim is that actually the Gemara is now going back and re-examining that din. And the Gemara now wants to know if the disqualification and the Chiyuv Kibbutz come at the exact same moment, what is the din? That's one way of answering. Another way of answering that the Achroinim suggests is that there was nothing wrong with the dam. Just the dam, when it hits the beged, dam chatas ha'oif, was saying that if it hits something, gets disqualified. It happened at the exact same time. There was no prior disqualification, inherent disqualification. Here we're talking about a much higher level disqualification. It became tummy. So even if we'll say that that disqualification, if it came simultaneous, there's a chiyuv kibbutz, maybe here it's different. So says the Gemara, Amar of Hun of Reid of Yeshua, midakam b'alei hachi, the fact that you're asking this question, Shmamina, firstly, we can clearly see that it is your opinion, Hoyslo Shasa Kosher, that if it was, even if the dam was at one point fine, but it became disqualified, not like Rabbi Kiva, the halachas ain't dam tamei kibbutz. Certainly the dam won't require kibbutz. But what is your question, as we just analyzed it? Perhaps, Hani Mili, B'Zachazeh, a classical situation where first the dam became tamei, and then after the dam became tamei, it hit the beged. There, kibbutz is not required. Our question is, when they happen at the exact same moment, the dam hits a beged tamei, so it becomes tamei, and it hit the beged at the exact same second. Abbas achas loy will be different, and the kibbutz will be required. Since at the end of the day, we're talking about at this point, the dam being tamei, tamei dam doesn't bring a requirement of kibbutz. Amalei, to which he responded, the answer to this question can be arrived at through the machloikus of Rabbi Lezav Rabbanon, we'll see in a second, as Abaya explains the opinion of his Rebbe Rabba. The Tanya, there's a brisa. We know, a few words of introduction, we know that if somebody is a tumas mess, the halacha is if somebody is a tumas mess, how does he become tahor? They make this mixture of the efra para, the ash of the para aduma, with mayim chayim, which is then sprinkled on the person on the third day and the seventh day, and then he's tahor. The braisa discusses a very simple situation. The person who's tamei, there's a woman who's tamei, she's a nida. So this woman has two tumas on her. She's a Nida, and besides being a Nida, she's also a Tamei Meis. And the question is a very simple question. Can we sprinkle on her the Mei Chatos while she's a Nida? Says the Braisa. Mei Chatos Shinitmu. Mei Chatos, the get Tamei, the Aloch is Amitaharim. They still keep him a Tahar. Interesting to note, point out the Rishayim. Very interesting point. Those of us have learned many times the sugyas about how the mechatas were prepared and to what great lengths they took to make sure that the mechatas should not be tamei in its preparation. They used kahanim that never were exposed to any tumah in their lives. They were born on top of a stone, a whole intricate situation. And here we're speaking about mechatas shenitmu. What's going on? So Rishayim respond. That Gemara that teaches us how, those Gemaras, it's more than one place, that teaches how careful they were in making sure the Mechatas don't become Tamei, that's only while they're being prepared. Here we already have the Mechatas ready. And again, we come back to a simple question. If the Mechatas are Tamei, are they usable or not? Mechatas shenitmu, betarim. Rav Chum says you can't use it, Rav Elazar says you can. Why? Shrei nida mazon alav. You could use mechatas to sprinkle on a nida. And as we're going to see now, even though every mechatas that sprinkle on a nida become tamei before they hit the nida, they're still usable. Explains the Gemara. What does it mean? Vamar Rabbi Rabbi Lezer b'shitas Rabbi Kiva Amra. Because Rabbi Lezer is following the shita of his Rebbe, Rabbi Kiva. Doma, who is of the opinion, Havyaras kli al gaba mokum tamei, passing a keli on top of somewhere which is tamei, kemunach tamei. It's as if it actually hit the thing. The Tanan. Hoya oimet chutz l'tana. There's a Mishnah Masechta Parah. The Mishnah Masechta Parah discusses the following situation. You have a tanner, you have an oven. The oven, we learned in Masechta Shabbos, looked like an open pot, essentially. The sheretz b'tanner, there's a sheretz in that open pot. And on one side of the pot is a window, and the other side of the pot is you. And in that window, on the windowsill, is the mechatas. For hoishe jodel l'chaloi, so you go, you stick your hand over the pot to get the picture of the mechatas. For notel asalagan, you take that picture, the viral pitaner, and you pass it over that pot. So now it became tamei. Why did it become tamei? Because it was exposed to the airspace of the pot that has in it a sheretz. Rabbi Kiva metame. Rabbi Kiva says it doesn't have to actually touch the sheretz. Even if it's exposed to the airspace of tuma, it becomes tamei. The chum tarim. The chum hold that not. Or b'ha pligi. And this is the basis of the machlokes. The Rabbi Kiva saw the kemunach tamei. If it's exposed, it's like Tomei itself. Rabbanan Savri, Rabbanan say no. It has to actually touch the Tuma for it to be considered Tomei. So what is the Gemara saying? Let's stop for a moment and think about it. We're asking a question. We're not in our sugya now. We're learning Paraduma now. We're learning the Shaila. If Mei Chatos became Tomei, if Mei Chatos becomes Tomei, are they usable? And the Gemara is bringing a Raya the following way. To the opinion of a blesser, that they're usable. If you have a nida, where the halach is you could sprinkle a nida with the mechatas and it will be an effective hazor, even though, let's think about it, when you sprinkle the water on the nida, it comes into the airspace of the nida before it hits the nida. So if it comes into the airspace of the nida, it becomes tamei. So how's that mechatas usable? It became tamei. What must be? It must be that even though it became tamei, mechatas that became tamei are still usable. Before we go further, there's an obvious question. Achrayim ask, why do we have to construct this case of a nida? Every person, who do we sprinkle a mechatas on? A tamei meis. So why don't we make a raya from the fact that it came into the airspace of the tamei meis? The fact that it came into the airspace of the tamei meis, it makes a tamei, and yet, they're usable. We have to come with a new case of a nida. So one teretz that the Achroinim suggests is because a nida has certain chumris in tumah, hesed, that a tamei meis doesn't have. I always found that teretz difficult. Because whenever we want to give an example of the highest level of tumah, we always use a tamei meis. And all of a sudden now we're saying a nida is a higher level of tumah. Chazanish, Turiyevin say different teretz. It's an obvious teretz. They say the Torah obviously taught us that what is the procedure to be matara tamei meis? By sprinkling the meichatos on him. The Torah knew that when you're sprinkling the meichatos on somebody's tamei meis, it's first going to come to his ear space and then come to him. But that's what the Torah said should be done. So it's like a gzeres akasif. But the Torah didn't tell us to necessarily do it by a nida. The fact that it's doable by a nida is a raya more than the fact that it's doable by a tamei meis. So back to our raya. So what do we see from here? That something that comes into the ear space is as if it hit the person itself. So now coming back to our question, if you're sprinkling this, if the dam of the chatas is going and traveling to this beged that's tamei, so as soon as it gets to the beged, as soon as it gets to the beged's ear space, it's tamei, and then only when it hits the beged, by the time it hits the beged, it's already tamei de gedam, and tamei de gedam doesn't require kippus. That's how the Gemara wants to connect the two questions. So the man that holds over there, that coming into the airspace of the nida, already makes the mechatas tamei, will hold here that the dam coming into the airspace of this beggar that's tamei, makes the dam tamei, and memela, there is no chiv kibbutz. The man that doesn't hold that way, and doesn't go with this airspace issue, will not have will hold here too, it comes simultaneous, not that the tumma comes before. Says the Gemara. Deisvei Abaya, says Abaya, that your understanding perhaps is incorrect. Because Moider Bekiva, Bazor Shavira Gabicheris Tamei, if you threw dam, I'm sprinkling the Meichatos, not dam, I'm sprinkling Meichatos on a person that's Tamei, and it travels over a Kelu that's Tamei, or it's traveling over a mishkev, a moshev that's tamei, it remains tahor. Why? She'en l'chashim dam mitam l'mal kalmata. The din that tumah travels up is only by kezayis menames v'shah kol ma'ilin. Only where the Torah speaks about tumas oil. Where does the Torah speak about tumas oil? By a mace and l'sui ever hamunugas. The stone of a house that was afflicted with tzaras also has a tumas oil. Elam Abaya, and therefore says Abaya, everybody will agree that the fact that the Mei Chatos was on the airspace of the Nida, it's Lav Kamunach Dami. What is the basis of the Machloikas? V'ocha b'hokamavki. The Rebbe Akiva sova gizrin et shem yinuach. Rebbe Akiva is concerned in the case that we've brought down from the Mishnah Masechta Parah, where you took the water from the windowsill and carried it over the oven with the sherets in it to yourself, that if Rabbi Akiva is concerned, if we're going to allow that to happen, you know what the next thing that's going to happen? You're going to put it right into the pot with the sherets. Rabbanan Savri, Rabbanan aren't worried. Lagazrinan. However, Omay de Rakiva. So where does Rabbi Akiva make this gzeira? Rabbi Akiva makes this gzeira specifically in a place where you are in control, where it's in your hand, where you could actually perhaps put it into the tanner with the sherets in it. How about hazor? Kimid nafik nafik. Once it's out of your hand, it's out of your hand, and there's nothing to worry about. If so, it has nothing to do with what we're talking about. So what is the machloikis that we started this piece of Gemara about mechata shenitmu? Rav Loza Rabbar of Michael Mifki, Amar Abaye B'Donan Tumah Keduma Mitumah Shabayis Shalkem Mifki. Do we speak about a tumah that came previously, the mechatas that became tamei before they hit, the mechatas that became tamei before the hazor, from the case of the mechatas that comes tamei as it hits the person who it's being sprinkled on? And what is the machlokes? Mar Sover, one man the Omer holds, that Rav Elazar holds that Donan, that we do compare it. Rabbanan Sofer, we don't compare it. So now, let's think about it. Rav Elazar is now saying, it makes no difference if the Tumah was there previously or the Tumah only came at the moment the water hit the Nida. The Mechatas hit the Nida. We look at it as if it was Tumah from before. And therefore we have a Raya. The Mechatas Shenitmu can be used. Again, let me repeat myself. Mechatas Shenitmu, simple case means where the water is tamei before you use it to be mazel. Rav Elazar says that not only is mechata shenitmu mean that it was tamei before, much before, coming tamei a month before, even if it got tamei as it hit the knee, it's all the same. It's considered always like a tumah keduma. So what is Rav Elazar saying? That there's nothing simultaneous. That the tumah is always considered that it came before it actually hits the object. If so, to our Shaila, where you threw this, not you didn't throw, where the dam of the carbon splattered onto the beggar that's tameh, even though it came, we think it came in 1 second, Rav Elazar doesn't look at it that way. Rav Elazar says, prior tumah and simultaneous tumah is all the same, it's always considered like prior. And what's the halacha if the dam is tumah previously? Kibbutz isn't required. The Rabbanan disagree. The Rabbanan hold prior tumah is prior tumah, but simultaneous tumah is not simultaneous tumah, and therefore the Rabbanan will hold the mechata shenitmu you take can't use. Why it's tumah digam mechatas? You'll ask me a kasha. Why could a nida get mechatas on her? Because it's not prior. It's not prior. It's simultaneous, and simultaneous is not considered prior. If simultaneous is not considered prior, so then when the dam comes on the beged, it's also not considered prior, and kibbutz will be required. So the machloikis, the way Abaya defined the machloikis of Rabbi Elazar Rabbanon, is the answer to our shaila about the dam that becomes tameh because it got splattered onto a tameh de gebeged. According to Rabbi Elazar, it will not require kibbutz because it's considered tummy from before, and dam that's tummy that's from before doesn't bring a chiyuv kibbutz. And Rabbanan will hold it became tummy at the same second that the chiyuv kibbutz came, and even though it's tummy the gadam at the end of the day, it still will make a chiyuv kibbutz. That's one way. Two more lines. Rava has a different way of understanding the machlokes. Rava amma dekulama ain't done. Rava is of the opinion that we don't connect tumah keduma to simultaneous tumah. What does that mean? That everybody will hold, let's hold cup here, that everybody will hold that if it came simultaneously, the halacha is that you don't have to, if the halacha is that you will not, you will have to have kibbutz. What is the machlokes here? V'achav ha'kanak, Rav Elazar sav azar tzricha shir, u'mistafen l'azos. Rav Elazar holds, let's think about it. You have to have a certain, everybody agrees, the Rishonim make this point. Everybody agrees that the keli in which the mechatas starts off with has to have a certain amount of water in it. So when the first drop of water hits the snida, it becomes tameh. And I still need more water because I need to have a minimal shear. Still, we see that the water, again, we have to start with a rule. I have to start with this rule again. I said it before. Amar said it. But I want to say again. Everybody agrees that if you put mechatas on a nida, she becomes tar from being a tamei meis. No argument. So now let's think about it, says Rav Elazar. You have to have a minimal amount of water that is used for the hazah. So what happens? You throw water at the nida. The first drop hits her. What happens to that water as soon as it hits her? It becomes tamei. Nobody could argue with that. But that you still don't have enough water. So more water comes. So what is the second, how is the second water going to get combined with the first water? The first water became tameh. It's mamash on her. She's mamash anida. What's the answer? It must be because mechata shenitmu atahiru. Have the ability to be matar. And doesn't bother me that it became Tommy because they touched her who she is a Nida. The Rabbanan said we can't bring a raya from there because you only need a drop of water. So the first drop of water indeed becomes Tommy, but it became Tommy simultaneous with touching her. And anything that comes simultaneous, we look at both factors. But according to this version, everybody agrees that when does the Tumah come? The Tumah only comes the moment it hits her. The only question is, how do we view this entire Mechatos procedure? So according to this version, everybody will agree that if it comes at the exact same time, everybody will agree that if it comes at the exact same time, there is a Chiyuv of Kibbutz. Let's read the words inside. Rav Amar Dekul Amar Ein Danim. We don't compare Tumah Kedumah to simultaneous Tumah. But what is the basis if Mechatos Shenitma Matarim? The Rebbeleza holds they are, and the Rabbanan holds they aren't. The Rebbeleza holds Shazor Tzrich Hashir. You have to have a minimum amount of water for the Hazor. How does that happen? Mitztafen Lazos. I, the first drop of water that hits the need, that became Tameh. So how can it be Mitztafen, the water will come afterwards? It must be because it doesn't bother me. The fact that that water became Tameh. Because Mechata Shenitmu, Betarin. Rabbanan Savri Hazor Ein Tzrich Hashir. So it's only the first drop of water that makes a tar, and that happened at the tahara of Tumas Mess, and the tum of the water happened simultaneously, and we look at both. And since we look at both, she has both. She became tahar, and the water became tummy. If we extrapolate to our case, it happened the exact same moment. The dam from this carbon becomes tummy, but the chiv kibas came at the exact same moment, and everybody will agree there's a chiv kibas. We learned in the Mishnah, this din that we've discussed numerous times in today's shiur already, that a chatas psula, that the blood of a carbon chatas that's possible, there the halacha is that doesn't require, it won't require kibbutz. Says the Braisa, Tanabonon, bidama, bidam ksher, v'lo bidam psula. Only kosher dam brings a requirement of kibbutz, not possible dam. Rav Akiva makes the following distinction. If it was once valid and then it became disqualified, that type of dam, even though now it's disqualified, ton kibbutz. But if it never was fine and now the nifsala, that since it was never good dam, ain't dama ton kibbutz. Rav Shimon holds, echet zeh, makes no difference if it was good once or wasn't good, under all circumstances, ain't dama ton kibbutz. The dam won't require kibbutz. My tama, Reb Shimon. Why does Reb Shimon hold that under all circumstances, it makes no difference when the disqualification came, the dam that's disqualified doesn't bring a chiv kibbutz, because the two psukim. One pasuk says, ksiv oisa, ksiv midama. Chad lahechad oisa lo shasa kosher. One to teach us where it was qualified at one point, and the other to teach us even if it was never. Rabbi Kiva Oisa, so now we have two psukim. So don't both psukim indicate that it doesn't make a difference when the disqualification came. As long as this dam is possible and doesn't bring a chiv kibbutz, Rabbi Kiva says, I don't have two psukim. The Oisa I need to teach us a different halacha. I need the Oisa to teach us pratlam l'truma. That we're going to spend a lot of time later in our perek learning the halacha of Marika v'shtifa. Marika v'shtifa, to say it in one word, because I don't want to spend time on it now, is that the halacha is that pots and pans that were used for the preparation, for the cooking of kabbonis, require kashering. And many of the halachas of kashering are learned from those halachas. Says Rav Akiva, the word oisei says that only if the pot was used for kachim is the rechiv kashering, not if it was used for truma. So therefore, according to Rav Akiva, the word oisei is not superfluous. If it's not superfluous, I don't have to teach us that it doesn't make a difference when the dam got possible. So Rav Akiva is saying a very strong argument. Rav Shimon that is using it for that, will he know this then? Shimon Tamei. Rav Shimon is of the opinion that we'll learn, Mitzvah Shem, later in the Perek, that Kachem Kalam ain't Tana Marika Shtifa. That not only do Truma not require Marika Shtifa, but even pots and pans that were used for Kachem Kalam don't require Marika Shtifa. So if a pot and pan that was used for kachem kalam doesn't require marika v'shtifa, certainly truma, which is less than kachem kalam, the many more restrictions on Katzim Kalim than there are on Truma don't require Kashrut. So let's figure it out. So I don't need a Pasuk for Truma. So what is the Isa available to teach us? That it makes no difference when the dam became invalidated, either always or later on, such dam doesn't bring a Chiv Kibbutz. That's Rav Shimon's opinion. Rav Kiva uses the word Isai for Marika V'Shtifa, so only dam that was never good will not bring a Chiv Kibbutz. Dam that was once good and then became disqualified still brings a Chiv Kibbutz. Says the Mishnah, Nitaz Menat Sava Al Abeged. If the blood went from the neck onto the beged, the halacha is ein ton kibbutz. It doesn't require kibbutz. Why? Because what happened here was the chiyuv came at the exact same, the disqualification came at the exact same moment as the, because it wasn't in a klisharis, and therefore there's no, so it's considered disqualified dam. And since it's considered a disqualified dam doesn't bring a chiyuv kibbutz. So all of you are sitting here thinking, I'm sure. We just finished learning a whole piece of Gemara. Nitis, if it got sprinkled onto a beged, that's tamei. So according to the first version, certainly Rebbe Lezer will require kibbutz. And according to the second version, both of them will require it. So how do we reconcile this with our Mishnah? Our Mishnah says that if it went and it happened, the disqualification and the splattering happened at the exact same moment, there is no Chiv Kibbutz. Very difficult Mishnah. He just learned a very hard piece of Gemara. How do we reconcile this Mishnah with the Gemara? The Chroinim all are very troubled with this Mishnah, and especially right after this piece of Gemara. So they say, and we really said this far earlier in the Shia, there's a very big difference. There was an Abeged Tomei. A Abeged Tomei is different than a regular Abeged. A beged tamei, so it's not inherent to the dam. There's an outside problem that the dam is going to become tamei. There was nothing wrong with the dam. The dam was coming from a klisharis. Nitis miklisharis. It was sprinkled from a klisharis on the beged. So therefore, the tumma only comes the moment that hits the beged. And therefore, we have the psak that we learned a few moments ago. They come simultaneously, and therefore there's a chiv kibbutz. Here, it was never in a klisharis. So it's inherent to the dam that this dam is not good dam. Therefore, here ain't on kibbutz. Menakerim the yisoid. If the dam went from the horn or the yisoid, ain't on kibbutz. And here too, the Rishayim explained the Mishnah as follows. We learned that it's really a Gemara that we learned earlier in the Masechta. Menakerim means that dam that was ready to be. Menakerim means dam that was already sprinkled on the keren. So since the dam was on the keren, it was nasas mitzvasoi. And since it was nasas mitzvasoi, so the dam is not anymore dam chatas, and it doesn't bring a chiv kibbutz. Dam that's still waiting to be sprinkled on the keren will require kibbutz. Point out to Rishonim. But we learned, according to Beis Hillel, only one keren is absolutely required. So why is the dam from any keren that's waiting to go on the keren requiring kibbutz? Only the first keren is the really important keren. So Rishonim answered the question. It's an obvious answer that even though it's not absolutely mandatory, it's kosher without it. Certainly you have to do it. And therefore it's still considered dam chatas. What is the definition of miniyasite? Definition of miniyasite is a very different definition. You finish the dam with the keren. We're all four krones. So what are you supposed to do with that dam? You're supposed to pour it on the yasite. But what happens if you don't have any dam? What happens if you didn't pour it on the yisoid? The carbon is perfectly fine. And therefore, even if the dam is waiting to be poured onto the yisoid, and it splatters onto a beged of a kohen, ain't on kibbutz. Nishpach al ritzpah, if it's spilled on the floor of osvoy, so we go back to our introduction to today's shir, such dam is possible, and therefore ain't on kibbutz. Ain't on kibbutz, because kibbutz is only required, ain't el dam shenaskava bekeli, dam that was in a klisharis, and it's dam that's royal hazor that could be used for a mitzvah. Tana, Rabbanan, begins the Gemara, Yochel nitzis min atzava la beged. If it went directly from the tzava to the beged, yeton kibbutz, tamalayma ashiyaza. Loimati l'cha, the Torah gave us the requirement of kibbutz, elaba royal hazor. And this is not royal hazor because it wasn't in a klisharis. Tani idach, another braisa, Yochel nitzis min akerenim yusoid, that after it was on the keren, it splattered onto the kohen's beged, it should require kibbutz. Tamalema Shiyaza. Dam that's waiting to be used, not dam that was already used. Prat Lazer Shikvahuzo. Nishpech al Ritzbo. So we learned in the next case, if it fell on the floor, it also won't require kibbutz. Ask the Mahasulamali. This is a repetition of the same din, because it wasn't the klisharis. And we said that any dam that wasn't the klisharis doesn't bring a chiv kibbutz. Says the Gemara, the way to understand the Mishnah is that the end of the Mishnah, the next din in the Mishnah is an explanation of the previous din. Ma tam kama. Ma tam nishbech al ritzbev osfoy. Ain't ton kibbutz. Fish ain't ton kibbutz al dam shneskabu b'kliv royal azor. And the dam that went directly onto the ritzbah and not into a keli, as we said at the beginning of our shir, is not roy lahazor. Roy lahazor, what does it mean when we say roy lahazor? Lemuti mai, lemuti kipil b'kochs mechtei azor b'klizeh, b'kochs mechtei b'chador b'klizeh. If you didn't have any keli that had the right amount of dam, that means the dam was in a keli, but you didn't have enough dam in a keli, because there's a certain amount of dam you need. You need enough dam to put on all the corners. It's possible. The Tanya, Rav Chalifta Basho Oymer, Kiddush, Pachs Medei Azor B'Klizeh. We go back to the Mechatos. If you have less than the amount that you need to have in one keli, because as I said earlier in Amud Aleph, even if you'll say that Hazor ain't Tzorach Shir, everybody agrees you have to start off with a minimum. Pachs Medei Azor B'Klizeh, or Pachs Medei Azor B'Klizeh, Lo Kiddush. The Aloch is, it won't be good. You can't, the way Rashi learns, you can't have dam in one keli, and dam in another keli, and then combine them. That's how Rashi learns. Other Rishonim are more lenient than Rashi. They learn as follows, that if I started off with the dam or the water in two separate kelim, and I combine them, I'll be all right. The problem is if I do the hazor from two separate kelim, whether it's by the mechatos or by the dam, that will be my problem. The Aruch HaShulchan has a very interesting psak, the Aruch HaShulchan Asid. He says that when we say that it can't combine, well, bin Allah, we only have one keli. But you have two people getting the dam or the water into the keli. So it's also a case of combination that won't be okay. Chiddush. Ibaruhu. So this halacha, that you can't have the mechatos combining from two damim, from two kelim, as Rashi explains. B'dam mahu. Well, bin Allah, by dam. Do we say hilchasi? It's a special halacha of Moshe Sinai. We don't learn binyan avs from halacha l'mosh mitsinai. Or duma, hasam my tam diksev v'tal v'bamayim. It has to all be in one keli. Hachanami by the dam tarsav v'tal v'dam. Toshma, duma zreik amar v'lothar af v'dam. If it comes from two kelim, even if they're combined afterwards with Rashi's pshat, like kiddush, they can't combine. All of the dam has to be in one keli from the beginning. Amar Rava, Tanya, v'tovel, v'loy misapi. You have to actually dip your finger into the mechatis, not just wipe it. B'dam, ad shehei b'dam shir tefila mi'ikara. Min adam shebe'inyin. What madam shebe'inyin means, we'll see in a minute. V'tzrach l'michta b'dam. Dikos rachmona v'tovel. If the Torah had only used the word v'tovel, have a mina. Afagav the lekashir tefila mikoro. You don't have to have enough dam in the first place. Ksiv rechmana bedam. Because rechmana bedam, if the Torah only used the word dam, have mina mefil mesabig. You don't have to do actual dipping. Kos rechmana v'tovel. Then the Brisa says, mina dam shebinyan. Ask the Gemara, what does that mean? Lemute mai. Amarav lemute shirayim shebeetzba. It's come to teach us that, let's say you stuck your finger into the dam, and you used it to do the sprinkling, and now you have leftover dam on your finger, that dam can't be used. Amar le Ravim bar Ad le Rav. Amar tamitcha. Amar Rav Amram, Tanina. He's a mezeh. If somebody spritzed from the mechatas, from, it's talking about the chatas panemius, and he spritzed from the chatas panemius, and from that dam, it spritzed onto his beged. Actually, he's a, if he didn't complete the hazor, ton kibbutz. Mishahiza, but once he completed it, ain't ton kibbutz. My love, what doesn't that mean? Hachkama. Actually, Gomel has this, ton kibbutz, that before he finishes, kibbutz will still be required. Gomel has this, but once he finished the seven hazars, the halacha will be that ain't on kibbutz. Says the Gemara, Loi, that's not what it means. So we see that as long as it's on your finger requires hazar, or coming, that's not what it means. Actually, yosa hazar miyadai, as long as it didn't leave his hands, tonkibus, yosa hazar miyadai, once it leaves your hand, even if it didn't reach where it's supposed to reach, that dam is considered dam shenas mitzvosoi, and ain't tonkibus. Ask the Gemara, Eisvei Abaya, it says in the Braisa regarding the mechatas. Gomel hazas, when the person finished doing all of the hazars, he should wipe his hands in the carcass of the parah. So what do we see from here? Gomer in, loy gomer loy. So he says, that's not pshat. Gomer, if he finished all of the hazars, he should wipe his hands in the animal, loy gomer. If he didn't finish all of it, he should only wipe that finger. Bishlama, says the Gemara. Bishlama gomer mekanach yodoy begufish parah, shenama v'sarves parah v'leinov. Else, Bob and my mechanic, if you're not saying that he wipes it in the animal, where should you wipe it? Answers the Gemara, Amra Baya, Bisfas Mizrik. Wipe it on the rim of the keli that was holding the mechatas. In fact, the Torah uses that word, kipure. Kipure means to wipe, kipure is off. But you can't use dam or water that was on your finger to do a second hazar. Once that dam was taken out, it could only be used for that and nothing else.